Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 21st chapter of Hilchos Ishas. In this parak, the Rambam discusses the wife's responsibilities towards her husband. Halacha Aleph. Mitziyas Isha Umaisa Yadeha Lebaila. If a woman finds a lost object, and it's the type of object which the finder is allowed to keep, and if a woman brings in any income, Lebaila, these go to her husband, she is not allowed to keep them. Umahi Osolo. Now, what does she have to do for him? What is the expected type of labor? Hakol Kamenag Medina. Everything goes in accordance with the standards in that community. Malkom Shadarkam Laarog Oregas. Lerkom Rokemes. Letvos Temer Opishtim Tova. If it's a place where the standard for women is to weave, so then she weaves. If it's to embroider, it's to embroider. If it's to spin wool or flax, so then she spins those types of items. However, if it is not the custom for women in that location to do these sort of works, he cannot force her. The only thing he can force her to do is to spin wool. Why specifically that? He can't force her to spin linen, flax, because that causes harm to the mouth and to the lips. However, he is able to insist that she still spins something, even if it not be flax. He can still insist that she spin wool on his behalf, because that's something which is designated for women. It's a unique labor for women. Shnei Amar, the Pasuk says, with regards to the Mishkan, the Pasuk says that all the skilled women put their hands, they put in their effort in spinning. If a woman pushes herself to bring in a higher income than was expected from her, the excess still goes to the husband. If the husband is very wealthy, even if the wife has many, many maidservants, therefore, at her disposal, she still is not allowed to sit idle, below malacha, without any sort of work at all. Because if one sits idle, it ends up leading to immorality. However, the husband, in this situation, is not able to force her to do work all day long. Therefore, in accordance with the degree of his wealth, that's the degree to which she can minimize her work. Nonetheless, though, again, she must do some sort of work. If somebody takes a vow that his wife not do any work at all, he must divorce her and give her ksuba, as we've already seen, being idle leads one to come to immorality. Every woman is supposed to wash her husband's hands, face, and legs, as well as to pour him, mix his drink, as well as to set his bed with sheets, as well as to stand by him and to wait on him, such as to provide him with water or a vessel he needs, or to remove these from in front of him, and the like. No. However, she is not required to stand and serve his father or his son. And these sort of labors, the ones mentioned in the previous halacha, are supposed to be done by the wife herself, in specific, and not done even if she has many different maidservants by them. Instead, the wife does this for the husband. Halacha hei. Yesh melachos acheiros she'isha osa lebaila bizman shein aniyim feilohein. There are, however, other tasks which the wife is supposed to do on behalf of her husband at a time when they are poor, and these are they. Ova pas betanor, she should bake bread in the oven. Ve'ezra tikin she'isha mash kemes ve'ofa kadesh tia pas mitzvi l'aniyim. The great Navi Ezra HaSofer had instituted, along with his Beis Din, that women should do this baking early in the morning, so that way bread will be available to the poor people who are coming around to collect. A second malacha is that she should cook the dishes. She should also do laundry. She should nurse his son. She should provide straw before his animal. However, not before his oxen. And she should grind his flour. Now, how does she do so? She should sit by the mill and she should guard the flour. She doesn't actually have to grind it. Or else she should follow after the animal to ensure that it keep on working, so that way the millstone not be left idle. However, if in that place their custom was not to use these larger millstones, but rather with a small hand grinder, so then she should grind in that fashion. When is that true? When we're dealing with poor people, as the Rambam had hinted at. However, if the wife had brought along into the marriage with her a maidservant, or assets which through those assets it would be fitting to purchase a maidservant, or that the husband already had a maidservant, or that he had enough wealth that he could purchase a maidservant on his own, so then she is not required to do these type of labors, to be in charge of the grinding, the baking, the laundering, or placing straw before his animal. Hechnisa lo shtei shvachos, o nechasam haruin leknos mehen shtei shvachos, o shayu lo shtei shvachos, o shayu rar leknos shnei shvachos. If, in any of the situations outlined, there was availability to have two maidservants, or they already had two maidservants, in vashelas v'inam enikas b'na, so then she does not need to cook, nor does she need to nurse his son, ela nosenes oso l'shivcha l'henik. Rather, she can give her child from him to a maidservant in order to nurse. Lachazayin. Therefore, what emerges is that the type of labors which every woman will do on behalf of her husband are five types. Tova, she will spin. She'll wash him. She'll mix his drink. She'll prepare his bed. And she'll stand by him and wait on him. And there are six types of labors which some women do, some women don't. Grind, cook, bake, do laundry, to nurse, and to place straw before his animal. Halacha ches. Kol melachos she'isha osa lebaila, nida osa lebaila. Chutz mimizikas hakos, v'atzas hamita, v'harchatz panav yad v'ragla. Gdera sh'mishom hir her, shema yavo levol. All the different labors a wife is able to do on behalf of her husband, a woman who is a menstruant is also able to do for her husband, with the exception of these three: the mixing of his cup, the spreading of his bed, and the washing of his face, his hands, and his feet. Because with these, there's a concern that perhaps will lead to thoughts of having relations, and then they might have relations. Therefore, she is able to make his bed, just not in his presence, while she is in a state of menstruation. And similarly, she's able to mix and fix up his drink for him. However, she can't place it directly in his hands as she normally would have, but rather she places it in front of him on the ground, on some sort of vessel, on the table, and then he can take it from there. Halacha tes. Ha'isha she'shavra kelim ve'isha astam lachta besoch besa b'tura ve'ein zeh min adin ela takana she'im ein at omer kein ein shalom besoch habayis l'olam ela nimtzeis nisheres v'nimnas miroh ha'malachos v'nimtzeis k'tata b'nein. A woman who breaks vessels in the midst of doing her work in the house is exempt from having to pay her husband back. Not fundamentally, the Rambam explains, but rather because there was a rabbinic enactment that if we don't say this, that she's exempt from having to pay back, but rather that she would be liable, then there would never be peace amidst them in the house, because the wife would withhold from doing any sort of chores around the household out of fear that she might obligate herself in having to pay money, and therefore there would be fighting between them. Halacha Yud. Kol isha shetimona milasos melacha mina melachos shei chayavas lasosan kovnosa vosa vafilu bishot. Any woman who withholds from performing any of the different acts which are incumbent upon her, the household responsibilities, we insist that she do so. We force her to, even if this means using a rod, if Beis Din has to get involved to insist that she do so. Tanhu she'ena osa v'hi omeres she'ena minas melasos. If the man claims that she's not living up to these responsibilities, and the wife claims that she is, moshivin isha v'enan oshchenim. So then we have some other woman live amongst them or neighbors, and then they determine whether or not the truth lies with him or with her. The judge should see what's best, what's fit to do in this particular circumstance. As long as a woman is nursing her son, we decrease the amount of labor she is expected to do, and we increase the amount of food that she's given, and we give her as well other foods such as wine or the like, which are good for the milk. If they set a certain amount of money aside for the food that she would need, and she desires to eat even more, either in quantity or in quality, other types of foods, because of that intense feeling of sickness that she has in her belly, that desire to eat, then she's able to eat whatever she wants. She might have to pay for it from her own funds, but she's able to eat whatever she wants. And the husband is not able to claim that he doesn't want her to do this, because if she eats too much or she eats certain bad foods, then ultimately it might hurt the fetus in her belly. No, she's able to do so, again, as long as she foots the bill, because of the fact that her pain is able to take precedence. If a woman gives birth to twins, we don't insist that she nurse both of them. Rather, she can nurse one, and the husband will be required to hire some wet nurse to nurse the second one.
Harisha ratzta isha lehenik ben chaverta imbina habal ma'akev ve'eno manicha
If the woman wishes to nurse her own child, the one that is from her husband, as well as somebody else's child, perhaps they would be paying her, she is not allowed to do so if the husband does not want her to, because the husband can insist that she only nurse his child alone. If the wife takes a vow not to nurse her child, we insist that she nonetheless still nurse her child up until the point where they are 24 months old, whether male or female. He omers, ani einek espini, who eno rotze shetenek ishto, kdei shlo tisnavel, afal pi shish le kama shvachos, shomin la, shetzar hu la lefrosh mibna. If the wife says that she does want to nurse, but the husband does not want her to nurse, he doesn't want her to become gross in some fashion because of the process of nursing, even though they might have many maidservants that would be able to nurse on her behalf, still, we listen to the wife in this case because it's considered pain for her. It's difficult for her to have to separate from her child, and therefore she has the prerogative to choose to nurse the child if she wishes. If she was poor and therefore was obligated to nurse her child, but the husband is rich, and therefore it would be appropriate that his wife not have to bother with the nursing, that they hire somebody else. Even though he doesn't actually have any maidservants, if she doesn't wish to nurse, in that case, the husband is going to be obligated to either purchase a maidservant to nurse the child, or else hire a woman to serve as a wet nurse, because the wife rises in stature with her husband, she does not go down in stature. If she claims it's fitting for him to have to go and hire somebody out or buy a maidservant to nurse, and the husband says, I'm not fitting. In this case, it's upon the wife to prove her case and show that he actually is a man of means. And here there's no relevance to discuss whether one of them has to take a swear. If a woman is divorced from her husband, she is not forced to nurse the child. If she wishes to nurse the child, then she's allowed to, and she gets paid for it. However, if she doesn't want to, so then she gives the child over to the father, and the father has to deal with him. But what is that true? This is assuming that she hadn't yet nursed the child to the point where the child already recognizes her as the one that he nurses from. However, if the child does already recognize that this woman, his mother, is the one who he nurses from, even if he's blind, and therefore you might argue he won't recognize her as clearly, in that case, we don't have him be separated from his mother out of concern that it might endanger the child. Rather, in this case, though she's already divorced, we insist that she nurse this child, she'll be paid for it, however, up until 24 months. Hagrusha ein lamazonos, afal pi shein minika espina. A woman who has been divorced has no claim of sustenance from her husband, even though she might be nursing his child. However, we do provide her with extra funds for things that the child might need, such as clothing, food, drink, and various ointments, or the like. However, if a woman is merely pregnant and she's been divorced, she has no claims on the husband at all. If the 24 months of nursing have passed, the child has been weaned, if the ex-wife, this Gerusha, still desires the child be by her, so then we don't separate the child from his mother until he's the age of 6. Rather, we force the father to provide sustenance for the child until this age of 6, and the child still remains by the mother. Beyond the 6 years, then, beyond 6 years, the father has the right to say, if he's by me, then I'll provide him with support. However, if he's going to stay by his mother, then I will not provide him with support. However, a daughter remains with her mother forever, even beyond the age of 6, and the father will still be obligated to provide her with sustenance, as we will see. The final halach in the parak, Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrates. If the father is wealthy enough to provide charity, we remove funds from him, which is appropriate to give to charity, against his will. And we have him support with these funds his daughter. Even though the daughter is living by her mother. Even if the mother gets remarried to somebody else, her daughter remains by her, and her father will be forced to support her. Not as a stipulation of the ksuba, as we will see, but rather as charity, as has already been alluded to. Until the father dies. However, upon his death, now the stipulation from the Ksuba kicks in. The father is obligated to support his daughters from his estate, and in that case, there's a stronger demand on his funds that he provide her with sustenance. Now, this has all been assuming that the mother wanted the children with her after she had weaned them. However, if the mother does not desire that her children be by her after she has weaned them, whether male or female, so then she has the capacity to say, I don't want to have to be in charge of supporting them. And in that case, she has the ability to give the children back to their father, who will be forced to support them, or she can literally throw them upon the congregation and have the community take care of these children if there is no father, and the community will have to take care of supporting these children. Have a wonderful day.